This is 1320 WILS. Mark Lane passed away. He was a defense lawyer who really became one of the earliest adopters of the idea that there was a conspiracy behind the assassination of John F. Kennedy. My next guest knows a lot about the topic. Brent Holland joins us, author of The JFK Assassination from the Oval Office to Dealey Plaza. Brent, thanks for joining us.
It's my great pleasure. How are you today, sir?
Good, good. You're based in Canada, too. How'd you get interested in this whole JFK issue?
Well, I'm in a place called Kingston, Canada, which is just north of Syracuse by 2 hours. So I got interested as a child because my dad had passed away just prior to JFK and JFK's assassination. And I remember asking my mom if Dad's funeral will be on TV, too. And there was kind of a symbiotic relationship from there on in.
Hmm. Now, you host a radio show up there in Canada called Night Fright. Is that on at night or?
Yes, it is. It's on YouTube. You can find it on YouTube just by Googling Night Fright Show, and it's also on the radio and a television show here in Canada as well.
Now, did you interview Mark Lane yourself?
Several times.
Okay, now give me a sense of just how important was he in looking at the conspiracy here.
Well, Mark was important to society in general. Mark believed that a single person could change things. And he had a kind of Gandhian philosophy. He used to quote Gandhi all the time. Strength does not come from physical capacity. It comes from an indomitable will. Now, Mark was more than just a conspiracy buff. Mark actually survived Jonestown. He was there the night. And Mark had done some amazing things before that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Brent, you just cut out there for a moment. You say he was in Jonestown himself?
He worked with Dr. King. He worked with Bobby Kennedy. He was a freedom rider. He stared down the KKK when they came on his bus with clubs to beat people. He stood up and said no.
So, what convinced him so early on that there was, in fact, more than just Lee Harvey Oswald?
The Warren Commission came out with the report. Mark went through it as a lawyer, page by page, and he wrote a recourse to it. He said, you know, these are just not the facts. So he started his own investigation. Mrs. Marita Oswald got wind of it and asked Mark to represent Lee Harvey Oswald in front of the Warren Commission, mm-hmm. which he did.
And so,
and Mark wrote a great book called Rush to Judgment.
It was a huge bestseller, right? It was like for 2 years, it was number one, I believe.
Exactly right. He also wrote the movie Executive Action that starred such people as Burt Lancaster. And that was really the first JFK movie that astounded people because that showed triangulation gunfire.
Why do you think the conspiracy theory hasn't been taken up by the government, hasn't even all these years later, hasn't become official?
Well, you know, I also interviewed Kent Sorensen, who was JFK's speechwriter, and I considered him a friend as well. I was down in his Manhattan apartment, and he told me it was a conspiracy, not a coup d'etat. I don't want people to get alarmed here, but there was a conspiracy to kill Kennedy.
And what was the motive for it?
Well, there's many motives.
Well, what did he think the motive was?
Well, he mentioned several. He mentioned organized crime, who hated Kennedy because Bobby was going after them hell bent. He mentioned civil rights people, white supremacists who were upset with him over civil rights. He also mentioned several other things, such as his peace speech that took place June 13th, 1963, where he said that they would make some kind of accommodation with the Soviet Union. The military folks saw that as some kind of appeasement, like appeasing Hitler. It was not the same case.
Do you think the government currently has evidence that they're withholding that would give us more information on what actually happened?
I think they probably do. I had a crime scene investigator on the show, and she's gone through the assassination with 21st century forensic science, and she found a frontal shot. And folks, what that means is the official Warren Commission said one shooter from behind JFK, She found a frontal shot, which means a shooter in front of JFK, which means automatically at least two shooters. Therefore, a conspiracy.
There's a Zapruder film. You know, when you watch it, anyone that has, you know, you see his head fly back. But from what I remember, experts were saying that's the reaction when you get hit from behind. Even though it looks like, you know, he's being hit in front, it's actually you know, the head's kind of bobbing the opposite way. Well, what do you make of that kind of analysis?
No, it's wrong. According to the crime scene investigator I had on the show, that shows actually a frontal shot.
The Zapruder film does.
Yes, and all the other films.
And that was shown. I mean, everyone really has seen that. How do you think, with that kind of a film out there, that the story remains unchanged?
Well, it really hasn't. There was the House Select Committee set up by Congress in 1979, and their final results were a probable conspiracy in both the JFK assassination and the Martin Luther King assassination. Now, they were supposed to get money in 1979 to continue the investigation. That money never came. So now we have an official government body that says there was a probable conspiracy. Now, you would think a conspiracy to kill the president of the United States, they would find the funds to do a further investigation.
And what's, I mean, we're so many years past it. If there is information that's being sat on, what's the motive to not make it all public now?
Well, I had found some documents saying that there were still missiles in Cuba. And that was the reasoning for the cover-up, from what I could tell. Now, of course, Obama's opened up relations with Cuba. I suspect that those missiles have finally been removed.
You're saying Russian missiles in Cuba were still there?
Oh, guaranteed, yes.
And how would that be tied into the assassination? Or the desire not to clarify what happened?
Well, if they opened that up, that can of worms, then people would want to go and invade Cuba, because nobody wants those missiles there. We'd open up that whole Cuban Missile Crisis again, and as Ted Sorensen told me, we were so close that Jack Kennedy asked his wife and two kids to come back to the White House, because he was positive they were all going to die the next morning. That's how close we were.
In your view, by the way, Brent Holland is the author of The JFK Assassination, from the Oval Office to Dealey Plaza, and he hosts the Canadian Night Fright radio show, which you can find on YouTube. What's your belief, then, your own thought on what really did happen? Who was behind the assassination?
There was an operation going on at the time to kill Castro called Operation Mongoose, when you had the mafia working together with military intelligence, with rogue CIA agents who ended up in the Watergate scandal, and Cuban exiles. And they got together and they said, we've got to get rid of President Kennedy for a whole bunch of reasons. And they did it. They pulled it off. And to this day, you still have mainstream media discounting all the evidence, such as the crime scene investigator and Ted Sorensen. My book has Ted Sorensen's final interview. He passed away just a few weeks after I interviewed him. Mm-hmm. And he takes us through the whole Cuban Missile Crisis and tells us behind-the-scenes stories that nobody knows about.
So
they're in the book, James.
So it's a combination of Cuban agents and the mafia and the CIA, some kind of a conglomeration?
It doesn't, you know, as we know now from terrorism, all it takes is one lone nut or two people to come together to conspire to pull off some kind of cataclysmic event. And this is exactly what took place with the Kennedy assassination.
And was Lee Harvey Oswald then part of that conspiracy also, in your view?
Unclear if he was part of it. It doesn't look like it from this point. It looks like he was indeed just a patsy. He was set up completely to take the fall.
Okay, but he was there with a weapon, or do you believe he took a shot? Or
I don't think so, because of the paraffin test. There was a paraffin test done on his cheek to see if there was any residue from gunshot residue on his cheek, and it turned out negative.
You believe he was completely innocent, then? Is that what you're saying?
Not sure. Uh-huh. I'm not sure. I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure.
Now, Mark Lane, the man who started this, you know, so many years ago, how did he feel? Because he passed away, but you talked to him several times before he did. He died just this week at 89. How did he feel about the way the public the conclusions of the general public on what happened so many years later?
Well, the vast majority of Americans, I think it's 76% at this point, believe there was a conspiracy in the Kennedy assassination. Why the government still wants to cover that up, I'm not sure. You know, maybe Hillary, instead of releasing the UFO files first, should release the JFK files and we can get the truth out there. Obviously, there's, you know, some national security concerns, perhaps the way that we were getting information, that might be something to leave in the dark, if you will, and we don't want to expose that or put people in any kind of peril. But I've got a funny feeling, because what Sorensen said is we're going to find out once Castro has passed away. I don't think Castro was involved. I just think, again, they don't want to open up the Cuban Missile Crisis and take a chance.
Gotcha. But it sounds like your view is it was almost like a group of rogue individuals that did this? Is that how you see it? Okay. So it wasn't any kind of governmental assassination, nothing within the government itself here in the U.S.?
No, and I'm a firm believer that Johnson was not involved in the assassination, because Johnson actually championed a lot of the bills that Kennedy started. And if Kennedy was killed for civil rights, which is one of the reasons, then Johnson would not have championed the civil rights bill and others.
Do you think Kennedy would have likely... they would have gotten him somewhere else, or was this just this one singular moment where they really had such a clean shot on him?
As a matter of fact, there was two previous attempts to kill Kennedy before Dallas. They finally got him in Dallas. One was in Chicago, and that was canceled at the last second because they lost track of the two shooters. There was two shooters that were being tracked, and they disappeared suddenly before Kennedy was to arrive. Air Force One was already in, all set to fly, and Kennedy canceled on the advice of the Secret Service, and also one in Tampa. And we have a fellow by the name of Joseph Miltier talking about Kennedy being killed by a high-powered rifle from an office building, and that it was for sure they're going to get him.
Brent Holland, author of The JFK Assassination from the Oval Office to Dealey Plaza. Brent, thank you very much.
It's been my great pleasure, my friend. Thank you, Mike.